5:04 on a Wednesday afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports Line. Rich Roth, Ed Lane, live all across ESPN Radio in Virginia, 1240 in Roanoke, 93.3 and 1320 in Lynchburg, 730 Southside, and 1350 in chilly Bedford, Virginia. Winter's here, folks. Make no doubt about it. And tomorrow is going to be an ugly, nasty day from all accounts that I've got. But we've got a good show coming your way here today. Worry about tomorrow. Today we've got a good one. Doug Dowdy talking some Virginia Cavaliers, and Uncle Luke talking some Canes and Hokies. Yes, that's right, Ed. The front man for former rap band 2 Live Crew.
Noted Miami Hurricanes supporter.
Yes, noted supporter. Amongst other things.
You could say that, yes.
I did say that.
Friend of Congress.
Friend of Congress.
Yes, huh? And the president. Remember, he was at a party that was so wild, even he couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, that was quite a story. We'll see if we get any other good stories from Uncle Luca later on, a little bit later on today, and get a feel for what the folks down at South Beach are thinking about this matchup. Normally, it's for bragging rights and maybe a Coastal Division championship. This year, Ed, it'll help determine which, if either of these teams, winds up going to a bowl game. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yes, not for ACC Coastal Division championships, but for a trip to Shreveport or Detroit. There's still time to weigh in on which one's better at Sports On Radio on Facebook and Twitter.
Shreveport or Detroit? I'm with Matt. I'd go Shreveport. I don't really think it's much of a contest either.
You don't. Shreveport all the way, huh?
Yeah.
Warmer weather.
Well, if you're looking for advantages, then again, maybe the food is an advantage in Detroit. It's a big city. More likely to get higher quality food, don't you think?
Probably. I like the food down in Cajun country very much. Spicy, seafood. Not big on the sausage there. I don't think they do turkey sausage with it.
I'm sure they probably don't. Maybe they do some of that raccoon sausage you were talking about the other day.
Hey, that's possible. But if they want really good sausage, what they need to do is bring it in from right here in Bedford County. Gano's Country Sausage. Country Boy on the label means quality in the gumbo. I'm just totally butchering their slogan, but that's okay.
That's okay. I'm sure they love the free publicity. But yeah, Uncle Luke a little bit later on. Doug Dowdy coming up in just a couple minutes is... this just feels more like a Hokie week than a Virginia week, doesn't it?
Why do you say that? Virginia's got a game against Georgia Tech.
I know. I'm just saying it feels like, you know, I kind of get these feels for the different games of the week in which... to me, feels like a game that has more interest and appeal. And maybe part of it's just Georgia Tech. Maybe part of it's the train wreck in Blacksburg.
You call it a train wreck? It's one down year. I mean, a train wreck would be if this were going on multiple years and they were getting ready to get rid of their coach.
Oh, see, I think you can have a...
A train wreck would be like the New York Jets. The Cleveland Browns. Total dysfunction. Tech, bad year. Absolutely.
Oh, I think it's worse than that.
You do? Like, do you think this is something that's going to be debilitating for their program?
I really don't know. And huh. I would tend to think not. But when you have... you know, when you have hopes... see, I think it's also just much more shocking. And that's why I tend to term it a train wreck a little bit, because when the expectations are, you know, and we were looking back over some of our guests at the beginning of the season talking about, you know, what their expectations were for these teams. And Coastal Division Championships, ACC title game. I think it was Mike Burnup who was predicting an Orange Bowl. When you have really, really high expectations for a team, and now all of a sudden, you're looking at the very real possibility of several very long streaks coming to an end, meaning the streak against UVA and the bowl streak. And you're looking at embarrassing losses to teams that aren't that good. I mean, we're just thinking about Pittsburgh because that was the most recent one. But this is a team that lost to Old Dominion, Ed. That's what got the ball rolling as far as this team taking a tumble.
Tumble, yes. Disappointing, absolutely. Playing poor, horrible, yes. I just think you're stepping maybe a little bit further off the ledge than needs to be. With Fuente, I can understand it. But the reality is it's the defense that struggled. And yes, Foster doesn't have any answers and has not shown that there are any answers this year with this largely, you know, underclass heavy defensive lineup. He is a guy that has, what, 25 to 30 years of credibility that he's earned and built up. And if you have one bad year, I'm not going to throw him under the bus. I mean, look, you've had plenty of good coaches that can have one horrible year in there. North Carolina basketball wins a championship in 2009. They're terrible the next year. Miss the tournament altogether.
Yeah.
And yet they bounce back because they've got a really good coach in charge. And all the deficiencies, when they have a full offseason to address them, they can correct them.
Yeah, and sometimes when you have a really great program and then there's an absolute disaster thrown in the middle, that's why I use the term train wreck. I mean, it's just so out of the norm. When you're talking about a team like Virginia, if they were to go 3-whatever or miss a bowl game, you know, that's the norm. But with something that's so far out of the norm, it's just something that I like feel like I have to pull over the side of the road to watch. Like, what's going to happen today? That's the feeling I have now when I watch Virginia Tech. What's it going to be today?
Really? See, I've gotten to the point where I tend to think a lot of Hokie fans have had to have gotten to this point. I can relate because Miami's offense is about as bad as Tech's defense. Good luck watching when those two units are on the field together on Saturday. Avert your eyes quickly. But, you know, when you're looking at that, I know exactly what to expect. There's not any improvement. It doesn't look like there's been any improvement. And you have to sit there and ask yourself, all right, it's probably not happening during this regular season. Do you expect to see some kind of improvement in the offseason? Because, I think it's reasonable to be absolutely surprised and disappointed that the Virginia Tech defense, led by Bud Foster, one of the best, if not the best, assistant coaches in college football, has made no real signs of improvement this year. But it's an anomaly. It's not something like this is a trend, and where that to me is where the term train wreck comes in. When this is an obvious trend and nothing's being done to address it, that's where I sit there and look at it and go, all right, we got some serious issues here, and either they address it or they don't. I don't think Tech football is at that point right now.
No, I mean, we'll see where it winds up going. But yeah, just a term that popped into my head. And when you go up to Pittsburgh and lose 52-22, following a bad loss to Boston College, terrible loss on national TV to Georgia Tech, barely squeaking by Carolina, drilled by Notre Dame, and a loss to Old Dominion. Taint pretty. Doug Dowdy, Roanoke Times, joins us here on the Sports Line. Things are a lot rosier up in Charlottesville. Hi, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. When you say rosier, is that because Virginia just beat Liberty?
Well, I think it's because Virginia's already qualified for a bowl game, and people up there have to be feeling pretty good based on the preseason expectations, don't they?
Well, you know, I never felt that the bowl game was the be-all, end-all. That, you know, they made a big deal about it last year. But if you go to a bowl game at 6-6 and you lose your bowl game, I'm not that impressed at your season, by your season. So I wasn't that impressed with Virginia's season last year. I think the big thing for Virginia right now is Virginia has clinched a winning season. And, you know, I think if you put all your stock in the bowl game, you could look pretty bad.
Well, I think that's the first hurdle, isn't it, though? I mean, isn't that the first hurdle that they had to overcome this year? And then everything on top of it just makes it look even better, because I remember at the beginning of the year, we were sitting down with everybody, hey, what do you think their record's going to be? And Ed, correct me if I'm wrong, but most folks had them under 500.
Yeah, for the most part.
Did I have them 1-11? Is that right?
I don't remember it being that bad, Doug.
No, I didn't have them 1-11. They've been better than I thought. You know, I wrote a column on the game last week against Liberty, and it was written from the standpoint of that was a game that Virginia really needed to win, not because they got bowl eligible or whatever, but it was a game they needed to win. What they really needed was a game they couldn't afford to lose. I just think, you know, that a lot of the old stereotypes would have been in play if they lost to Liberty. And frankly, at the end of the half, what was it? It was a 3-point, it was a 4-point game or whatever until Virginia kicked a field goal or scored a touchdown at the end of the half. It was a very competitive game for a while.
Doug Dowdy with us here on the Sports Line. Is this team running out of steam, Virginia football, right now? Or are they at a point where they've achieved their first goal, getting back to a bowl game, and now the only other one that really lies in the windshield for them is beating Virginia Tech?
Well, the other goal was having a winning season. Beating Virginia Tech, obviously, is they've made no secret of that when they started, beat Tech after every practice and breaking the rock and saying beat Tech and whatever. And, you know, I felt at the time that they were putting too much stock in beating Tech. Just get better. Don't talk about beating Virginia Tech until you get better. And they have gotten better.
Doug Dowdy, Roanoke Times, joining us now, talking a little Virginia football. And as this team gets ready to head down to Georgia Tech, I mean, you know, Ed's question certainly, you know, has a little bit of merit if they run out of steam. But, you know, they got tripped up by Pitt, who's obviously a very good physical team. And, you know, lots of, or at least some similarities to Georgia Tech in terms of, you know, running the football being a high priority. And I know Virginia's been pretty banged up on defense the last couple of weeks, despite the fact that, you know, the defense on the whole this year has been pretty good. How are they, how prepared are they for this Georgia Tech triple option, considering, of course, that they didn't fare very well against it last year in the bowl game?
Yeah, and I've asked that question a lot this week as to what the differences are between the option that they faced last year against Georgia Tech in Charlottesville, the game Virginia won. What's the difference between what was the difference in that option attack they faced against Georgia Tech and the Navy option? And I, you know, because my thinking was, you know, there's a team you beat last year against the option. We were all talking about how great Bronco was about defending the option. And then I went back and looked, and last year in that game that Virginia beat Georgia Tech, Virginia gave up 399 yards on the ground. So I don't know that what we were saying at the time about Virginia having solved the option, I don't think that was correct at the time. I think that the option that they faced against Navy is not all that different from what they faced against Georgia Tech. And, you know, I think Bronco's feeling was, in talking to him this week, that, you know, one of the things about beating an option team is playing well offensively as well. And, you know, I think that'll be, you know, I think Georgia Tech's going to put some points on the board, obviously. You know, they've been doing it to a lot of people. But so Virginia's got to be prepared. you know, Virginia just can't hang back and say, well, it's all about stopping the option. No, it's not. It's about putting points on the board and keeping pace with the option.
Doug Dowdy, Roanoke.com, making time for us here on the Sports Line, discussing where Virginia football is right now, entering this game against Georgia Tech. Odds that this is another shootout and that this offense can again help carry the load, given how Georgia Tech, if you don't stop them early, it can often snowball quickly.
Well, I think Virginia obviously played pretty well against Liberty. I think a lot of people would stand back and say, well, you know, scored 45 or whatever, 48 or whatever it was against Liberty, so you must be pretty high-powered. Well, no, I think that, well, actually, you look at some of Liberty's scores, and there have been other teams that have outscored Liberty by more than Virginia did. But, you know, I think Virginia did what it had to do offensively against Liberty, and I think, you know, they should be able to compete with their offense on Saturday.
Physically, how are the Cavs looking injury-wise, especially on defense?
Well, Joey Blunt, the safety, one of the two safeties, is banged up, and Bronco said today that it was unlikely that he would play. He also said that the center, Dylan Rankensmeyer, who took a blow to the head last week, that he has passed the concussion protocol. And don't ask me what a concussion protocol is, but he has passed it and has been cleared to play in the game. That will help them offensively. Defensively, they'll miss Blunt, but I don't necessarily think of him as one of the best tacklers on the team. He's probably a pretty good tackler, but he's playing safety. I think two of the key players will be kids from Atlanta, Jordan Mack and Rob Snyder, the two inside linebackers, both from Atlanta. I guess I would imagine they're both pretty jacked up for the game.
Doug Dowdy with us here on the Sports Line. Doug, any concern that this team as a whole is looking beyond Georgia Tech because of the magnitude of the Virginia Tech game?
Well, they've been talking about that Virginia Tech game since the spring. I've thought that they put too much stock in it or put too much of their efforts into it. I don't think when it gets right down to it, when they're playing Saturday at Bobby Dodd Stadium or whatever it's called, or Grant Field, whatever it is, I don't think they're going to be thinking about Virginia Tech. And, I think that that's been a major challenge for them from the start. I think a lot of people are going to pick them to beat Virginia Tech next week. I don't think they'll be thinking about Virginia Tech on Saturday.
Are you one of them? Are you picking? I'm looking ahead already. You picking Virginia to knock off Tech?
I'll probably pick the Hokies until Virginia shows me they can beat Tech. I'm not going to pick them. Why pick them?
I understand. I totally get it.
I've had a lot of successful picks over the years in this game. Let me tell you. It's not from picking the Cavaliers. I don't want your listeners to think that I'm wagering on the game. That's just the picks we have in the Roanoke Times. And until Virginia beats Virginia Tech, I will continue to pick Virginia Tech in this game.
Gotcha. What about this weekend? You like the Hoos chances down in Atlanta? Think they win?
This has been a series. It's what surprised me when I saw it the other day was that this is the closest series that, of any opponent Virginia has. Virginia is 18, has 18 wins, 20 losses, and one tie. So this has been pretty back and forth. And I've always thought, and Virginia's won. I've seen Virginia win some games down there. Virginia has not traditionally been a great road team. We all know that. But in this league, some places some venues are tougher to play in than others. Virginia Tech is one of them. Clemson is one of them. Florida State is one of them, although I've seen it's those not the Coastal, but the other Atlantic Division teams. You never see them anymore. But Virginia goes 6 or 7 years without seeing a Florida State or an NC State or whatever, and that's a shame. But, I mean, getting back to what I was saying before, there are a lot of places where it's tough for a visiting team. Georgia Tech is not one of them. Probably won't sell out. The crowd won't overwhelm you. So I've always felt that compared to some of the places of equal talent that they face on the road, this is not one of the tougher places to play.
Doug, thank you. Next time we'll work in some hoops as well. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the trip down to Atlanta, and we'll catch up again real soon. Thank you, man.
Yeah, I hope I made sense. Talk to you later.
I love how he owns it. I mean, I love how he owns it. I hope I made sense. Talk to you later.
What a great way to end an interview. I hope I made sense. Oh, boy. All right, speaking of making sense, our next guest, following these brief commercial break messages, none other than Uncle Luke.
Relative of the sports line,
you know,
Uncle Luke.
It's funny because Matt was asking earlier, who's Uncle Luke? He just told him to Google it. He was rolling his eyes. Education for young Matthew. Quick break. Stay tuned. Uncle Luke next.